Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
So, welcome to this week's episode of Coffee Talk. If you have just joined, Coffee Talks are the short in-between episodes where we read your user-submitted stories, hang out with friends, or talk about witchy pop culture, or we chat with what's going on in our personal practices. And sometimes we're even joined by with friends. If you want to be featured on Coffee Talk, email us at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com, or you can send us your submission on our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com. You can send us your tips, your ghost stories, or any kind of funny story you think the community would love to hear. Be sure to let us know if we can share your name or if you prefer us not to. Your social media usernames are also a great way to get credit. And also, if typing out entire thing is like not your jam, we actually do have a voicemail service where you can leave us like a little voicemail. Now, there is a 3-minute cutoff time. So if it runs over, just call us back and tell us the rest of your story and we'll piece it together. Not a big deal. But that number is 351-207-0799. Now, we do have a class this month, and it's going to be taught by Caitlin Barone as Art as an Offering, and it's going to be on Diana's Mirror. And that's going to be on July 31st at 6 p.m. EST. And oh my gosh, what a coincidence! As Robin's fill-in, I am joined by the Caitlin, the art witch herself, the illustrator of Little Witch Books. Hello, Maria. Hi. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Jessica.
I hope everyone's ready to be irritated. It's just going to be Jessica, Jessica, Jessica.
To fill in everyone with the lore. So, during the last Tamed Wild retreat, Jessica and I, Caitlin and I, we bonded a lot. And so we were outside, laughing, and we were bringing up Hot Chick. And we started doing the, it's me, Jessica. And it became a whole thing. So now we're the Jessicas.
And we're just like, Jessica, I really can't do this today. Jessica, you shouldn't have to do this today, Jessica. It's just like nonstop, and we're driving. And now our children are calling us Jessica.
Yes. And Jude was even like, oh, everything's about Jessica.
Yeah, it is. I'm so sorry. It's move over. It's I know my 6-year-old too. She was going, Jessica, to me. And I was like, yes, little Jessica.
Listen, we're enjoying it, but also like we're millennials and there's something really nostalgic about that movie to me. And like, we keep talking about like Juicy Couture jumpsuits and like all these ridiculous things, which I never owned, by the way. I never even had one.
Me either. Always wanted one.
That's why we have to get the one in the black.
I know. If we're going to get black. We're going to have
Jessica
juicy
and
on
Jessica.
Our butts. Too bad we can't do the rhinestones. So instead of Juicy, it says Jessica on the butt. Could you imagine?
That would be genius. I don't know. You know what that sounds like? A really good craft night. We just sit and rhinestone like some velour bands. Jessica.
We
get
to
be
that.
Like, we get to cosplay, you know, the millennial like popular girls. Because I was not a popular girl.
Me either, Jessica. Me either.
I think it would be fun.
It would be fun. We should do that. That'd be fun just to stay on like the phone and just like chat about it.
Yes. Yeah. The witch version of Mean Girls.
Yeah. Yeah. You literally said the next Tamed Wild retreat, they're going to put us like upstairs in the attic, like where the ghosts are in that little closet.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be banished.
And even the ghosts would be like, oh my gosh, we are getting out of this house.
Yeah, they'd be like, Jessica, stop. We can't. Jessica's become my vocal stem. I literally, same. when no one's around, I'm just like, oh, Jessica, no.
That's really
bad.
It's like everything's about Jessica. They think I'm talking about you all the time, but I'm just like, stimming.
Yeah, it's part of the Jessica lore. Nobody knows if we're talking about like ourselves or each other. We just don't. Are we talking in third person? Nobody knows.
I don't know.
So I don't even know.
If anyone went through our text messages, they would be like, wow.
Be like, I think you two are deranged. Yes. Yes, we are. We like it. We like it that way.
Yes. So we just got done with your class, well, your workshop, and that was so amazing. And this
Thank
was like
you.
What your first like led personal like led workshop that you've done.
Yeah, this was my first 5-week course.
Mm-hmm.
So prior to that, I've just been doing like one-offs, like mostly for 10th house rising, and like hosting little things on like the Pointy Hat Press Substack. But yeah, this was the first really like long-term course. So I'm so happy that you were there.
I know. I'm so glad you invited. It was so amazing. It was so good. And it's crazy the amount of insight I gained while doing it.
I'm so that makes me so happy to hear, because I was stressing so much throughout. Like once it launched, I was stressing because I was like, oh, you know, I really hope that this resonates, that I'm articulating and communicating everything right. Because I have a background in education. So, you know, of course, I'm like using my master's in education to like lesson plan and do all these things. But, you know, I was so worried that it wasn't going to resonate, because, you know, it's a financial commitment and a time commitment, mm-hmm. which, and both of those things, I know how, that's a huge deal. And, I just felt so responsible. So hearing the positive feedback makes my heart feel so full. Like I've been processing the last class since we got off the call last night. Yeah. And I've just been like, oh my gosh, you know, like I'm just elated that everyone felt, you know, like, It was more than they thought it would be is sort of like what I felt like was communicated to me. And I was like, oh, thank goddess.
Yeah, no, it was so good. In fact, I was like, maybe I should like redo the course, like watch the videos again if you're going to keep them up so I can keep redoing it. And
yes.
Especially when I like hit a ebb or like a blockage.
especially creatively. Like, but I love the idea how you're like, you should have done photography and stuff. And I was like, wow, yeah, I should have tried. I need to get outside my comfort zone too.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you watch the classes again, mm-hmm. you should do it. You should do it from that angle. Because like, that was something I also was like, sort of like, while I was, you know, creating the class, I was like, you know, I really want people to obviously try all of the methods, because mm-hmm. I think it's super fruitful for conceptualizing and all that kind of stuff. But I also was like, I hope people run with it and they apply this when the class is over, like to their chosen medium. Mm-hmm. I thought that would be so interesting. Like, I feel like if you took like your anchor concept and some of like the abstract shapes and the composition created in the abstraction, like I thought if you took that and mm-hmm. like applied it to your photography, mm-hmm. I thought that would be so interesting, like to interpret mm-hmm. those abstract channeled pieces with photography. And I know that you love to go on lots of nature walks and you do a lot of nature photography, like, you know, just like to your stories and stuff, mm-hmm. but like, I don't know, like I could see you like going into nature and like looking for, you know, these shapes and these images that like came up for you. Yes. So that was what I was thinking too.
Which is so crazy, Jessica, because I was literally thinking about doing it next week when me and my wife go to the mountains.
Yes. So. Yes, I think you should. And then it's like, you know, that is also merging a lot of the things that we talked about, like in terms of animism, you know, and a nature-informed spiritual practice mm-hmm. informing your creative practice. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I think it would be so cool. And then if you do some meditations out there and, yeah. you know, yeah, that sounds amazing. You need to yeah. do it.
It was so good. Like, guys, through this, like, course, I, like, it was really funny because as I was saying last night during our like kind of like wrap up session, I was like, I had this idea in my head of what it was going to be, what I wanted to concentrate on. And Spirit was like, no, we're not concentrating on that. We're actually going to go deeper. And it's just crazy how much deeper it went. It went to the point where now I'm like working a lot with Aphrodite, and I've worked with her, but not this, like, not in this like sort of way or like this intensely. But it's been such a fun journey. So fun.
Yeah.
I feel
love
like it
that.
Made summer enjoyable. And I'm not a summer witch.
I'm not either. I hate it.
It's so hot, Jessica. It's so gross.
But when you pretend to be Venusian every day, it is much more fun.
It
when
is.
You're just like, my hair is like this because I'm channeling Aphrodite. I'm channeling sea foam. But no, you know, it's really funny that you say that because I feel like Venus Aphrodite is like a part of my practice kind of all the time. Mm-hmm. Whether like I want it or not, it's just part of me. And in the summer, I really do lean into her a lot. Like, I've made like little necklaces, like I've tied like lace onto some shells like that have little holes in them, and like I'll wear that, and like I really try to embrace that to help me get through the summer. Because like, yes. I just don't like to be hot, but I'm just like, you know what, I'm not sweating to death, I'm feral.
That was me this morning trying to tell myself as like I'm taking pictures yeah. of the spider web that I put on my story, and it was being swarmed by gnats ugh. At the time, and I was like, oh my god, they keep landing on me, it's so gross, and I don't really want to get this photo.
Oh my gosh. But, and you're going, I am a bog witch. The gnats are my familiars.
As they come, like, try to stick themselves in your eyeballs.
Oh, mosquitoes and gnats are the worst part
yeah.
about nature. Yeah, it's like, I want to be in it all the time.
I get it.
I just don't want to be around these mosquitoes.
Like, I get it. They're pollinators and they're food for a lot of birds and stuff. But can we
yeah,
just
but
not?
I still hate you.
But no, it was such a great class, and I can't wait to see what other workshops that you guys come up with. Well, if it's particularly you, like, it's gonna be really good.
Yeah, we so Kristen and I, so this was just mine, but Kristen Lisenby, my business partner, we're going to be doing one in July, hopefully, if all goes well in the planning, which it should be. It's more like timing, because, you know, we know what we're going to do, but like middle July, we want to do a 3-week course, and it's going to be very workshoppy and very exciting. I know that there's going to be some seances involved, so it's pretty sexy.
I love a good seance.
Yes. Also, sorry, my chair is like so creaky. It's like a really old antique chair. All it does is creak. Yeah. So if you hear any creaking.
No, I have not, Jessica. Like, you're fine.
But you should definitely come to our seance.
I would love that, honestly.
Like, yeah, a creative seance, might I add.
Which is funny, because I don't know, we'll be doing a seance together in October for the Tamed Wild retreat.
Yes, that's true. I feel like, and I thought about this at Beltane as well, like that we should bring in things like automatic drawing, you know, and like have us all be doing like something. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I was like, oh, I should have done automatic drawing, but maybe this time I will.
We all have our like roles. Me, I guess, yes. Me on Spirit Box with tarot, and
yes,
I don't. Oh, you need to bring like your planchette, the automatic writing one.
Yes, I'm gonna bring that for Samhain, like 100%. I just need to bring massive paper, because that thing is huge. But you know what? What's cool about it is that we all can put our hands on it. It's big enough for all of us to have a hand. So I was saying, I had thought about that, like doing some like collaborative automatic drawing piece, because that planchette it's enormous. It's as big as my face.
Which is so funny, because when you took a picture of it, I was like, oh, that looks reasonable. And then I went to the Etsy list and that you sent me, and I was like, that's humongous.
You're like, that's massive. I know. I have Charlotte, my spider, right here with us.
Yes. Jessica has a jumping spider, and she is so cute.
She is a vicious killer, though. look at this plant. It's taller than my face.
It is, but it's so pretty. She's so pretty.
Thanks. I'm really enjoying it. I do a lot of automatic drawings. Oops, in my like sketchbooks and like my little journals and stuff. Mm-hmm. But when I got this, it kind of inspired me to take out some really massive paper, because that was the only way I was going to be able to use it. And I do have this huge book that's like half my body, and I started doing some automatic drawings in them, like at night, and like really like trying to channel. And it kind of inspired me to even work bigger in some of my other artwork and like my watercolors and more intuitive. So I went out and I got like huge watercolor paper, and now I'm kind of like, let's get bigger with these channeled pieces. And now I'm working on something that's like so much bigger in scale than I'm used to. Honestly, it's just kind of cool how like if you just, when you try new things, mm-hmm. you end up doing new things. It kind of like, you know, is this really cool, you know, like cause and effect. Like, I wasn't expecting to make bigger watercolors, but now I am, because I've tried this, you know, this huge planchette. Like this, I mean, it's like it almost looks like a joke. It's so big.
It is. It's so you're just like, okay, let's try to use this. And I don't know, is it really hard to move around, or is it fine?
It actually glides around pretty easily, but I've found myself like getting kicked off the page. So I think I need to get even bigger paper. I think I need to get like those rolls you know, those rolls of paper.
It's like parchment rolls.
Yeah, that are like, you can make like bulletin boards out of them or whatever. And I'm like, I think I gotta go bigger.
It's like the, I don't know if you watched like Christmas Time with Eloise, where, you know, the movie. Have you seen that?
No, I've never seen that.
Oh, well, she has rolls of like parchment on her paper, on her wall, and she like pulls them out to write her like Christmas list. And I was like, that would be such a fun idea for like a kid's room.
Yeah, but
that's also for adults.
Yeah, that's basically what I need.
Like, I feel like the bigger like the paper and more like creative space that you can have, like you could be more free with your art, because I feel like being like really close to such a small piece of paper, you're feel like really restricted. So I feel like that's a lot of freedom to do just as you want and just as you please.
Absolutely. I think for sure you can really get into the movement and the physicality of making art, and I think, you know, when you go and you see like these abstract pieces from like the expressionist movement, things like that, like they're so massive and they're so big, because you know you're really able to spread your body out, you know.
Yeah,
so I love that,
especially for us, you know, chronically ill people. Being like crammed is not the best.
No, it's not. And also, like, it's what my mom always says something to me, you know, move the feet and the mind will follow. Mm-hmm. And you know to just keep going, you know, sometimes you just have to get up, sometimes you just have to like move, and then mentally you will kind of adjust. And I feel like that statement kind of reminds me of that. Like, if you just, you know, like you'll hopefully.
Hopefully. I don't know. It's way more stretchy to be like, I'm doing it over here, now over there, rather than just right here. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. I work like that with pen and ink. I'm like, we were talking about our TMJ before we recorded, you know, our hypertension and our jaws. I mean, like, and that's basically what it's like working with those tiny pens and doing pen and ink. I'm like,
I hate
my whole body is
so
my jaw.
Anytime I'm concentrating on something I enjoy, even like doing art or like doing photos or editing photos, I just feel like the tension in my face just from like concentrating.
That's why I don't film myself, because I look crazy. It's like, it's not even resting bitch face. Like, I look like a serial killer. Like, I look like
super intense
and like, but also not moving, you know, like not blinking a lot. And you can't see my lips because I'm so like, you know, you know, it's just like the worst. I'm like, ew, why does she look so mad?
Why do I keep hurting myself when I create? It's so stupid.
Ow. Yeah, I hurt myself emotionally and physically. It's why we suffer for our art.
We do suffer for our art. But yeah. It really sucked. Like, when I was at the height of like my chronic illness stuff, like not being able to create was like literally the worst, that I would force myself to create just because I needed something.
Yeah, me too. I've been through that also. When I like, because I obviously go through like flares, which still are not as bad as when like I first got diagnosed. So when I first got diagnosed, I had my whole body collapsed, and like the chronic fatigue and everything was like super, super bad. It was like months of being stuck in a flare. And to fight through that fatigue was brutal. I mean, the grogginess, like the muscle pain, on top of all the other like little ailments that were going on too. But just like, yeah, I did try to force myself, but it was really hard. I look back and I'm like, I can't believe I did all that work that I did while I felt like absolute shit, like more shit than I've ever felt in my life.
Yeah.
But like, we need the release. We need to like, I think, you know, there's a compulsion when you're creative, because in your mind, you're creating this, you have this idea or, you know, this feeling, and like, we just have to get it out no matter what is going on. And you know what? Like, the thing I keep thinking about a lot from the final class last night is hearing everybody's stories about like what is going on in their life right now, you know, while they're in the midst of trying to still be creative. And it just moved me so much because I'm like, you know, this, we have this need and this desire to keep doing it, you know, to keep like telling our stories and to keep expressing ourselves and trying to like reach other people like through our work and understand ourselves through our work. And, you know, I was just thinking of some particular stories, you know, that were told to us last night, which I'm not going to repeat, but it was just like in the hardest of times, like we still are reaching for that. And yeah, it's just such a beautiful thing to just keep, you know, reminding ourselves like that the body is tired, but like the soul, you know, the soul is still fighting, you know, it's still like, it still wants us to like do the thing. And yeah,
that's why like I feel like we really like when we have like our personal underworld journeys, like when we're going through like a really difficult time, like I know it sucks so much to go through, but I feel like that is really where like creativity lives and like new creativity and new sparks and like finding like we want so much to be like on the surface again that, you know, we have to express ourselves in some way in order to get to the surface because we find answers through creativity and through our work. And I don't know, does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, when you said to me that you feel like the fatigue and the like the chronic illness and the flares are like a liminal space, I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah, that really resonated because fatigue and exhaustion, all these things, that really is an altered state, you know, of consciousness. And it's not one that we want. You know, we don't, you know, we're not choosing, you know, to create, to be there, you know? It's not like a, you know, we're not doing like a trance state to get, you know, to feel like crap. But it's like, we don't, I think it's interesting because we don't get to choose what happens to us. And, you know, we have to work with the conditions that are unfortunate. Or, you know, we'll never do. I mean, I just can remember so many times of my life of just being like, I can't do that right now. It's not the time. I'm feeling this way. This is going on. I don't have time for it. And while that is, of course, true, multiple truths are true at the same time. It's still like, so yeah, I think that going through being like ill myself, like I had to really realize like, I can't sit around and wait for this feeling to pass and to be over. I have to just like lean into it. And it's the same with emotional, I think, upheaval and other kinds of, you know, ups and downs in our lives. It's like, I don't want this to be happening. I'm not choosing this to be happening. But you know what? I'm going to like create in spite of it. Yeah. And it's, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, if you like look at stories like the wise woman, she's never like of sound health. You know, she has a cane, like she's bent over. So it's like, you know, I would rather go through someone who has like experience of like being ill and going through all these like transformation cycles and go to them for information because they're so wise, and having to have all these experiences, it really like teaches you. And
it really does. It really does. And like, I mean, I've personally gone through like so many, you know, so many things that were completely out of my control. that I had to, you know, bear witness to and be affected by, and, you know, then in my own life and my own, you know, hurdles and things and trauma and whatever. But it's funny because, you know, and you and I have talked about this also, like in witchcraft and spellcraft, like going to your altar when you are the most broken, mm-hmm. And, you know, when you need it the most. And, you know, I think that like I forgot the quote, who said the quote about artists pray by creating. It's like, you know, to me, it's like you know, you can go to prayer whenever for whatever you need, whatever you want, as many times as you want a day. And it's the same for like making art, but it's also, I think, showing up for your art and your creativity in those times, those distressing times, is super powerful. I think the work that comes out of it is compelling. And I think, you know, going through the experience also makes you stronger, you know, as well, that like, hey, I can show up for this part of my life that is so deeply important to me, and I can show up and I can still create, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to explore other altered states of consciousness, to create from. And just like for me, yeah, I think I've found that in some of the most distressing times, I've really created the most compelling work, you know, for myself. Whether it means anything to anybody else doesn't really matter, but like for me it was super compelling. So
I think it was. I haven't seen these pieces of work, but I do. Think it was.
They're dark.
Whenever like I do tarot readings, like at the Tamed Wild retreats, I'm always like, I go through like these bouts of insomnia right before the retreats. And so I'm always like, people are about to get really good readings. I'm going to feel like crap, but people are going to get the best readings of their lives.
You're uninhibited. You're with the cards like this.
Exactly. I'm like this saying all these things and I'm like, I don't know what I'm saying right now. I hope it resonates. And it always does. So cool.
Listen, if the what is the witch if not a cryptic, you know, deliverer, a cryptic harbinger, you know, like I'm like, figure it out. I said what I said. I don't know, you know, like.
Exactly. That's why, like, when I feel like I'm getting a little too eccentric, I'm like, no, it's okay, because there's tons of witches that are represented, like, in folklore and stuff that are super eccentric. So it's fine. It's fine that you make sense sometimes.
Absolutely. You know, there's a little witch in all of us. There's a certain type of witch in all of us. And, you know, it's okay to channel, you know, like the witch in some fairy tales who, you know, the protagonists, like they're like, they need something. They need some type of ingredient. They need some type of thing. And they're like, oh God, we're going to have to go to the witch to get instructions. She's got to tell us how to get through the dark woods. You know, she's got to tell us how to get to the other side, whatever, you know, and they get there and she's just like, you know, she's just got that like, you know, she's got a cigarette energy, you know, she's just like, and she just lays out the most ambiguous advice. And she's just like, you know, but I don't know though.
You know what I'm saying? I love her. I want to be like, her.
You know, yeah, we should all be her one day. You know, do you know what I mean? When you're giving advice to someone and you're just like, I think you should do this, 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 and this, but I don't know though. What do I know?
What do I know?
I don't know, because if it goes wrong, I said I don't know. So I mean, that's my favorite type of witch archetype, right? There's different witch archetypes within the witch archetype, don't you feel? Yes,
there are. But we're all a little kooky, and that's fine.
I live for it. I love it. I don't know what I would do without it.
Well, that note, I'm going to let you go. But thank you so much for joining for this coffee talk. I enjoyed so much talking to you, Jessica.
And oh, Jessica!
Putting one of our conversations out there permanently for people to hear.
Jessica is immortalized. Which Jessica are we talking about, though? The Jessicas are immortal. Yeah, thank you so much for having me, though. This was so much fun. I'm so honored to be asked to be here. So thank you.
Of course. I couldn't think, like, I was like, I gotta have Jessica on. I was like, I hope she's not busy. And you weren't. So it was perfect. But we're sending all of our well wishes to Robin, who is dealing with the plague.
Oh,
so.
No. Oh.
Yeah. Poor dear.
Oh no, with the two, yeah. And she's got two babies,
Two babies that she homeschools. Like,
oh, yeah, that's a lot. That's rough.
It's a lot.
Sending her the healing,
all the healing. But she should be back next week. We may or may not record next week. I'm going to the mountains with my wife for her birthday. So we'll see about next week. Summer's always a little weird for us, but we'll get back to a normal recording session. Eventually. But anyways, you guys should definitely join Caitlin's class on the 31st at 6 p.m. EST. Now, you can either join us via Patreon, or like if you're like, I don't want to join, like, and to do the entire membership to Patreon. Great. You can actually buy Caitlin's class one off and you can come join us then. It will be available time of the class. So yeah. Come join us. Come gain some wisdom from the art witch herself. But yes, thank you so much for joining us this week for Coffee Talk. We hope to see you next week for one of our regular episodes, if we are able to get to it. But check out our website for links to our submission forms, or shoot us an email at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com to tell us any kind of funny stories or ghost stories, tips or topics you think the community would love to hear. As always, if you enjoy Coffee and Cauldrons, please take a moment to review us on Apple Podcasts, or if you want to support us directly, consider joining us on Patreon, where we share articles. We have so many articles. I drop a monthly outlook every month and a spell every month. There's just so much on there. And there's even like courses in all the classes that we've had so far. We have a spell of the month box, and we have a Discord, an amazing community. Come and join us on there. But anyways, I'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.